welcome to the Mint Podcast, where we dive deep into God's Word and discuss practical ways to live it out. This season, we're doing real talk about how we can contend for breakthrough in the most difficult and painful parts of our story. I can't wait to see what God, the commander of heaven's armies, is going to do as we press into him. If you want more of what you hear on the show, there are additional free resources, merchandise, and donation opportunities available at amintageisler.com. We're a listener-funded podcast, and we appreciate your support so much. Let's go run the race. Well, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you have decided to join me as we dive deep into God's Word and discuss practical ways that we can walk it out. We are in the series called Here I Am, where we look at the Hebrew word Hineni and what it means when it is used in the Old Testament. And so we are in the final episode today of Here I Am, and it is a great one. We are going to talk about the two times in the book of Isaiah that God uses the word Hineni. And then I have a special surprise for you. I have a giant life update that I want to share with you. So this episode is going to be fun. I can't wait to dive in. Let's pray and get started, friends. Lord of Heaven's armies, Father God, we just bow before you this morning. We're so thankful for who you are and how you love us. In the next minutes, Lord, we humbly ask that you would give us eyes that can see you, ears that can hear you, and hearts that are courageous enough to say, Hineni, here I am, Lord, send me. In your name we pray, amen. Well, I have loved this series, Here I Am. I don't know about you, but I have loved it. I have learned so much. God has shown me so much in this series that I have been able to apply in my real life. And that's what I want to share with you at the end. But just as a quick recap, the Hebrew word Hineni is Here I Am, isn't a geographical phrase. It's not when we say, here, God, here I am right here. And we wave our hand like, in case you lost me, I'm right here in Fridley. See me, here I am. That's not what it means. It's a posture before the Lord, open hands on our knees. Here I am, Lord, ready and available to do whatever you ask. And what makes it powerful in scripture is that the four times it's used by men of the Bible, when God calls their name, they say, here I am, meaning I'm ready to serve you before they know what God is going to ask. That's their response. And that it stays their response after God asks them to do nearly impossible things. And so in episode one, we looked at how God said to Abraham, I want you to put your son on the altar. And Abraham said, Hineni. And then we looked second at Moses. And when God called to him from the burning bush and asked him to go back to the very place he'd run away from, Egypt. And Moses's response is Hineni. And then we looked at Samuel and how when God called Samuel in the night because he needed Samuel to deliver a really hard message to his boss, Eli the priest, and to become a prophet to deliver hard messages to others, his response was Hineni, here I am. And then we finally, in our last episode, looked at Isaiah and how Isaiah needed to be refreshed. He was in a place of discouragement and just really down and out. And God reminded him of his glory and his power and his purpose. And he renewed Isaiah, set him on fire, and then said, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me, which is like my new battle cry. And he went out and did his thing. And so today we get to look at the two times in Isaiah where God says the word Hineni, here I am. And it's kind of a flip on the script that what does it look like? What context is here when God says to his people, I am ready and available to serve you. Here I am ready to do what you ask. And so we're going to start in the second instance. It's Isaiah 58. And I'm actually going to read the whole thing because it's so good. It's going to give you context about where God is coming from when he says Hineni to Isaiah. So just snuggle on in and listen. Here we go. Shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout out loud. Don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. This is the Lord speaking. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and they seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We've fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We've been very hard on ourselves and you don't even notice it. I will tell you why, I respond. It's because you're fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? I'm going to pause right here. The Lord is calling out the hypocrisy of the people of Israel. He's saying, you act and you look religious on the outside, but inside I can see your hearts and they are not. You're doing this for show. You're not actually trying to know me more. You're not trying to get closer to me. I can see through you. And now he says, this is the kind of fasting I want. Verse 6, I'm just going to take a little sip of water. I'm trying to get over sickness and I'm going to try to prevent a coughing attack if I can feel one coming on. Sorry about that. Verse 6, the Lord says, no, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from your relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Come on, somebody. Verse 9, then when you call, the Lord will answer, yes, I am here, he will quickly reply. Hanani. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry. Help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities, and you will be known as the rebuilder of walls and the restorer of homes. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. Boom, right? Can you just feel the weight of what he's saying? I don't need you to appear like a Christian and go through the motions. That's not the kind of righteousness I desire. And if you're thinking Sermon on the Mount and how we talked about true godliness and righteousness and false righteousness, self-righteousness, you are right on. Jesus talks about this very thing in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7. But what God is saying here is, I don't want the show. I want your heart posture. And I want it to be that you're not trying to do anything for yourself, build your own kingdom, build your own wealth, look good, get power, get fame. No, no, no. This is what I want. Free the prisoned, lighten the burden of those who work for you, share food, give clothes, give shelter, help those in need. And then I, the Lord, will say, Hanani, I am with you. See, God is with those who call him by name. When God is with you, when Jesus is in your heart and you are walking with him, that's God's Hanani response. When we invite him in, he says, Hanani. But it's our actions are going to change. See, I think so many times as Christians, we think that doing a relationship with the Lord is like us making our plans and going about our ways and praying for God to bless what we want. Instead of living in a posture of surrender and saying, okay, Lord, what work do you have for me? Who can I help? Who can I love? And then the Lord promises to be with you and bless that work. Did you catch that? The whole second part of it is, then your salvation will come. Your wounds will quickly heal. The glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. And the Lord will guide you continually and give you water when you're dry and restore your strength. And He makes the blessings flow when we're in a surrendered place doing His work, when we're not about ourselves, when we take up our cross, die to self, do His work instead. That's when He promises to come, Hanani, I am ready and available to help you. So if you feel like the Lord is not helping you currently, that's a great opportunity for you to check your to-do list. And what are you praying for? What are you trying to accomplish? Because it might be your own work. It might not be the work that the Lord has for you. And so just wanted to point that out. Now I'm going to flip and I'm going to go back to Isaiah 43. It's the other time Hanani is used. And it's in Isaiah 43, verse 19. I'm going to start in 18, but forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? Now, other versions phrase this differently, and it says, here I am doing something new. So that's where the Hanani comes in, but that's where our English translation, I teach out of the NLT, sometimes trips us up and we don't realize it's that same word Hanani because it got translated differently. The interpretation was different. But so depending on the translation of your Bible, it might say, here I am, or it might say, I'm about to do something new. But either way, the meaning of that is, I'm with you and I'm doing something. And then it continues, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. And he's talking about Jesus, right? He's going to send his son. He is sending something new. He's making a new way that he can be with us forever. That was Jesus, right? When Jesus comes into our heart and the Holy Spirit fills us, it's the ultimate Hanani moment. God is with his people. He comes in to us. It's a whole new type of Hanani. And I just love it because sometimes I think it's easy for us to believe the lie that we're alone or that God's not doesn't care about us or maybe we're not on his priority list. But the fact that he says, Hanani to us is a way of expressing his total readiness to give himself to us, his total availability to us. That's your God. He's ready to help you when you do his work. And I'm going to flip. We even see this in the New Testament. I think this is so poignant. Jesus's last words in Matthew 28, the Great Commission before he goes up to heaven, here's what he says. And think about this word, Hanani, I will be with you, right? The promise that he's ready and available to help us. It's total availability. Jesus says to his disciples, these are his final words. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. There's the good work we're supposed to be doing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you and be sure of this. This is his final words to us. I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Hanani. That was like Jesus's last words before he went up to heaven. Hanani. I am with you. When you go make disciples, when you do my work, I am with you always. Isn't that awesome? I never understood that tie or that connection or why that promise at the end was so important. But God has been promising and speaking Hanani over his people since the beginning. His plan, his heart is always to love us and to be with us. And if you were with us for our series last season in Exodus, where we talked and spoke and dove deep into Exodus 33 and 34, where God reveals himself, he says that he's a relational God because he reveals himself as good and compassionate and merciful and loving and faithful and forgiving. That's our God. He's relational. He wants to be with us. And so the promise that he makes in this passage is to remind us, Hanani, when you are doing life with me, I am ready and available for you. Friends, God is with you. He's with us in the good and the bad and the ugly. He never leaves us, ever. And we even see this in his charge and in his call to his people. So I'm flipping to Deuteronomy 31:8. And this is where Moses is kind of passing the torch to Joshua. And this is what he says to him. Moses called for Joshua. This is Deuteronomy 31:7. As all of Israel watched, and he said, "Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he'd give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never fail you or abandon you." Hanani, that's the picture that he's painting there for Joshua. Joshua is poised to lead the people into the promised land. We just did a series on Joshua. And Moses is saying, this is your God. Hanani, he's with you. That's the feeling that we get here. And I really am just hammering this home, because as I've walked through a difficult season, one of the lies that the enemy tries to tell me is that God doesn't care about me, or that other people are getting more of God's attention because their situation's worse, or that God has left me alone and I feel lonely and my feelings lie to me. And it's really easy for me to believe that God isn't like next to me holding my hand, especially as I walk through hard things. So I think a lot of us could maybe fall into that trap where we let our problems feel way too big, or we let our feelings tell us that we're alone, or we imagine the future, but we don't imagine it with God and his goodness in it. And so we find ourselves discouraged, and the enemy is able to stop us from experiencing the fullness of peace and joy that we have in Christ, because we forget that, yes, we need to have a posture of Hanani before the Lord, but we also forget that God is Hanani to us, that he's promised that when we do his work, he is with us and he won't leave us, and he's ready and available to serve us. And so I want to encourage you today, you can do the hard things that God is asking you to do, because Hanani, he's with you. In your role, the practical ways that we can walk this out is, number one, we can just claim that as truth. I think one of the things I've learned over the past few years is the power of my words and the power of speaking out truth to my feelings when I'm not feeling something, right? When I feel discouraged, I've learned the power of saying, "The Lord is with me. He does not fail. I will have victory over this in some way, shape, or form." But we have to be able to speak that out over it. Okay, feelings, I feel you. I hear you. We feel alone. That's not the truth. The truth is Hanani. God is with us and he's bigger than this problem, and we're going to be okay because we're not alone. And for us to become people who practice speaking the truth instead of practice feeling our feelings. It's okay to have feelings. Don't misunderstand me or send me an angry email about that, because you're really good at emotions. Okay. All I'm saying is it's okay to feel your feelings, but then you also need to take your thoughts captive and line them up with truth. And so we need to start speaking that Hanani over our feelings. Number two, we need to live rightly. Man, sin's a roadblock. If you're not feeling God's presence with you, or if you're wondering because you don't feel like God's blessing you, you got to just take a moment and do a heart check. We talk a lot about that on this show. Is there anything in your life that's tripping you up or hindering you? Are you letting unforgiveness take a spot in your heart? Are you bitter? Are you angry? Is there some kind of sin where you're walking the line and going, "Ooh, but it's not like technically a sin. How close can I come to that line?" But maybe you're not relying on God, or you're allowing an idol, or you've got a habit that's not good and taking God's place as your comfort and all those things. But as we saw in Isaiah, the Lord is saying your heart before him matters. If you're living in sin, you're going to block the Lord's presence, because he's holy and he's perfect and he can only be where that is. And if you're choosing, even though you have him in your heart, if you're choosing to live a life that isn't pleasing to him, he can't dwell there, because that's not who he is. And so we have to bring a pure heart before the Lord in order that his presence may come and dwell with us. And that doesn't mean we have to be perfect. God understands that we screw up, but it means that our pursuit of holiness needs to be real. We need to actually be active in fighting the sin in our lives or the temptations in our life if we want God, if we want that Hanani presence. And then finally, issue a daily invitation to the Lord. God, I just invite you to come and take control. I invite you to come be with me. Lord, I desire to be with you today. Lord, I give you my plan that I've been praying so hard for, and I ask that you would show me your plan. Lord, I think that's what the four characters that we've looked at previously in this series have done so amazingly, is they were all willing to take their own plan and surrender it to the Lord. Think about Abraham, his most treasured thing, his son, and he was willing to put him on the altar. Think about Moses, his biggest mistake, the murder he'd committed that he had to run away from, yet God called him to go back and he was willing to do it. Or you think about Samuel, and Samuel was trying to do the Lord's work, but he was about to just have to turn everything on its head because the Israelite people had become so apathetic and fallen so far. And even Eli the priest was allowing sin, and he had to go speak a word he knew nobody was probably going to really want to hear. And so he had to fear God more than he feared man. And then Isaiah, where he just was so discouraged and he just was kind of tired and weary and not feeling hopeful. And he needed to be renewed so that when God needed somebody to go do hard work, the hard work of being a prophet was not a popular thing. It usually meant you were an outcast and you were poor and you were mocked and you were laughed at or you were beaten. It was a hard job, which I just think is so interesting and speaks to us about that sometimes God calls us to really hard things. But anyway, all of these men took a posture of surrender and did hard things before the Lord because they trusted him. That's the Hanani response. Lord, this is never what I would choose. I would choose my comfortable life. I would choose the desires of my heart, but I surrender. Here I am, ready and available to serve you, even if it's hard. Even if it means giving things up, even if it means going back to my place of greatest pain and failure, even if it means speaking words that lose my friends. I said that probably not grammatically correct, but I think you know what I'm trying to convey there. Even if it means that I have to live a life that is so contradictory to the world, I will choose to have a Hanani response. And when we have that, then the Lord's response to us is Hanani. So I think this is a really good lead-in to my life update. And I had shared with you guys at the beginning of this series. So if you haven't listened to the full series, I'd encourage you to go back and start at Here I Am 1. But at the beginning of the series, I explained how I even came to find this, that my husband and I were doing a fast in January and he started reading about Abraham. I started reading about Samuel. We didn't talk about it. And then we both one day during our devotions were saying how their response was, here I am. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird, the exact same response. So I went digging and found that it was, in fact, this word Hanani. And so we were like, wow, okay, Lord, what are you asking us to do here? And over the course of that 21-day fast, he made it so clear we were to put our flip house, the house that we're currently working on the market. And when I say flip house, I mean, we had to totally remodel this house, but we were actually kind of hoping to stay here till the end of time or till God calls us home because it's such an amazing house. It's our dream. But God said, no, it's taking too much time, talent, and treasure. You got to put it on the altar like Abraham had to put Isaac on the altar so that you can serve me better. And so on the very last day of the fast, we had our good friends over and made a plan to list the house May 1st. And we were like, okay, Lord, the day is yours and the house is yours and our lives are yours. Like, we surrender to your plan. Because friends, for 2 years, we've been praying, Lord, help us afford this house. Lord, help us get this done. Lord, could you bring in side work? Lord, what could you do? Because from the very beginning, this remodel has been kind of a disaster and we haven't been able to afford it. And we've been scrambling and we've been asking God to provide, which he always has at every point in our marriage. We've been so careful and faithful to tithe. And God in response has been so faithful to show up and provide. But for 2 years, it's been a struggle. And we have been scraping by. And we have just felt stuck. Like, what do? We can't afford to finish this house. We can't afford to sell it. It doesn't even have a kitchen. Ain't nobody going to pay what we need them to pay when there's no kitchen in this house. And my health has been a challenge. We're like, Lord, we're stuck. That's why we were fasting. Help us get unstuck. What are we doing wrong? And so it was cool how he made that clear. Now, before I tell you the next part of the story, because this is the new part of the story, I want to say this. 5 years ago, our family had a really hard season of life. And it is in the first season of our podcast. It's the first time I have my husband Ben on the show, and we share the story of what was going on. But my husband, for the last 25 years, has been a football coach. And a lot of that time has been spent as a head football coach. And 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, he got offered the head football coaching job at his alma mater, which was a huge honor. It's a big school. And he had just like 1 month until the season started, and he hit the ground running, even though it's a huge program. And it was an unbelievable season. He brought in his character building program. He made a lot of changes and basically brought Jesus into that place. And they went 11-0 in the regular season. They went all the way to the state semifinals, where they lost 11-1. And then a few weeks after the season ended, he got called in and they said, "You're not the guy. We don't like your changes. We don't want your character program. If you will give that up, you can stay here." And it just, we prayed about it and fasted about it, but we just felt like, no, this is why we coach. This is why our family does this, so that we can impact the next generation. We're not just about football. We are about building men for others, changing lives. And so we said, well, we got to do it our way or no way. And so after 5 months, we parted ways. And there was a lot of controversy swirling around that, and it didn't make my husband Ben look very good. And he's had a lot of heartache come from that, wondering what happened and how he failed, and it's just been a constant battle. And shortly after the Blaine debacle, he said to me, "I will never be a head coach again. I'm done. And I just said, "Well, I understand that you're hurt, but I believe God has called you to this. And I want you to just promise me that you'll keep an open heart for whatever God has. We want to live in obedience to God. We don't want to ever say, 'I will never do what you're asking me to do.' Then we're just being Jonah, right? Running to Nineveh." And so he wasn't ready to do that yet. It was a very painful, hard time. And so for the last several years, we've talked and we've prayed, and he's done some assistant coaching, and mostly he's been the coach of our son, who's in third grade, and our other son, who's in first grade, of their flag football teams. So that was the transition, right? And that's been beautiful in its own way. But about a year ago, my husband was doing construction full time. He actually even took a hiatus from teaching after all of that, because after they let him go from football, then they told him they didn't have a teaching job for him, and that was a whole debacle too. So there just was a lot of things we needed to work through, and we thought maybe construction would be a good break. So he did construction for about a year, and after that he said one morning on our deck, "Minta, I feel like I'm being called back into teaching." And I was like, "Okay, absolutely. I agree with that." So he called his principal from the alternative learning school that he had stepped down from. That came after Blaine. And he had called the principal, and she's like, "Well, no way. The person who took your job just told me she's not coming back next year." So Ben immediately had his job back. So he's been teaching. And for about the last year, he has started to say to me, "I kind of feel like I maybe want to be a head coach again." And it was like, cool. But then we'd always say, he'd say, "But I've been out of it too long, and we could never afford it in this house because I got to do construction on the side in order for us to be able to live here." And it's like, yep, it's not a reality right now, but maybe someday. So I just needed you to know that information. That for the last 5 years, my husband has been so faithful to work through and process his feelings to get to a place where he just was ready for whatever God had. And he's been working so hard, flipping this house for our family and doing construction and teaching the lights out and coaching our kids. And he still has been so faithful before the Lord. And I've always wondered what God was going to do to redeem this story, because we serve the Redeemer. So fast forward to the story about the fast and God asking us to put the house on the altar. So the very next day after we sign and make an agreement to put the house on the market May 1st with our friends and list it, the very next day Ben gets a phone call. And the phone call is this: there is a school district, Ben, that needs a head football coach, and they're looking for a character guy who's a Christian. You need to apply. Very next day, like 12 hours after we decide to sell the house and like put our money where our mouth is, actually move forward with it, right? So we did the fast, and then on day 21, we were very intentional to walk out in obedience so that we wouldn't change our minds. Because trust me, there was a lot of days since then that I wish I could change my mind and just keep this beautiful home. Anyway, so the very next day, 12 hours later, there's a phone call. There's a head coaching job opportunity up in Cambridge, Isanti. It's a community about 45 minutes north of us. They're looking for a character guy. You need to apply. And Ben's initial thought was like, nope, I'm good. And I just was like, well, wait a minute here. We've just been studying Hanani, and we were obedient like Abraham to put the house on the altar. But what if God is asking you to be obedient like Moses and go back to your place of greatest pain and perceived failure? And so Ben marinated on that for a day or two. And then he said, you're right. My response needs to be Hanani. And so he applied. And I just thought that was the victory. That 5 years after he said, I never will coach again, he applied. That is full circle. That's coming back to a place of surrender of like, Lord, I'm terrified. This makes me nervous. But if you want me to do this again, I will do it out of obedience. That's the Hanani response. And so for 3 weeks, we heard nothing. And to be honest, we moved on. We're like, okay, well, they must have picked somebody else. Maybe God was just testing your faith to see if you were willing to be a full Hanani response, right? How serious are we about this Hanani thing that we're talking about and excited about? Are we all in, or are we just like partially in? And so we moved on and we started looking for houses around here because we're like, well, if we're going to sell, where the heck are we going? Like, we're giving up our home we thought we'd be in forever. So where should we go? So I'm like all over the place on Zillow and realtor.com. And one day I'm looking at houses 10 minutes away. Another day I'm looking at houses 40 minutes away. One day I'm looking in South St. Paul. And the next day I'm looking in Andover. You know, like, we just had no idea. And after a few weeks of that, I said to Ben, I'm driving myself crazy. Like, we have no idea where to go. I don't know how to make this decision. And I said, but what keeps nagging me is that God was so intentional to ask us to give up the house. I feel like maybe he has something for us, like he's going to show us. And so I almost feel wrong just randomly looking for houses, trying to decide where to go, because we've never made a choice to move without God prompting it and telling us where to go. So it feels weird to just look for a house wherever we want, because that's never been how God's worked with us. God has always been super clear to lead us to a specific community and open the doors. And Ben's like, yeah, you're right. So we made this agreement that we weren't going to look at houses until God showed us exactly where he wanted us. And I kid you not, the very next day, Cambridge Isanti called Ben and asked if he would do an interview. It had been 3 weeks with nothing. And we had written it off. And so long story short, within a span of a few days, Ben got offered the head football coaching job at Cambridge, Isanti. And we took it. And he is already in the process of starting to head coach. And friends, if you are listening to this, pray for us, because we're trying to finish a home so that we can sell, so that we can move. While he starts a head coaching job, I'm in the middle of my busiest speaking season. We've got kids' activities and stuff going on. And we're working on the house around the clock, and we're trying to get this new thing going that's 45 minutes away. So there's driving involved. So we all of a sudden just have this crazy thing. But friends, I just want to point out, like, this is what Hanani did. See, we've been stuck for the last 2 years praying for breakthrough, asking God to provide. Turns out he just needed us to stop asking for him to provide so we can stay in this house. He needed us to pray a surrender, put the house on the altar so that he could reveal what he had for us, which was different and better and is going to be a redemption of this part of Ben's story. But the prayer had to change. The posture had to change. We had to align ourselves with Hanani and say, here I am, Lord, ready to serve you. You need me to put my greatest like achievement, my house, this beautiful thing I've been pouring all my heart and soul into for 2 years. You need to put us to put it on the altar. Okay, it goes on the altar. You need me to go. Ben had to say, you need me to go back to my place that's the hardest and do it again. Okay, Hanani. And now we're walking in this fullness of joy and peace. I can't even explain it. I'm so excited. And we're going somewhere new we never would have dreamed about. And we're so excited about because God was Hanani to us. See, when we were ready to do his work and listen to his way, then he could reveal something even greater than what we could have planned for ourselves. That's the power of Hanani. So I wanted to just share that testimony because even as I've been recording this series, the Hanani has continued to unfold. You know, we just thought Hanani meant putting our house on the altar, and actually God was asking us to do a Hanani where our whole life went on the altar, that we would be willing to lay down everything and move and go to a new community and do what he's calling us to do. And I'm so excited. I feel like I love that community already. And we're so excited to go be with our new football family. So I just wanted to share that because as I've been doing this series, God continues to show me more and more his Hanani to us and his faithfulness to us. And I'm really excited for the future. And I want this to be an encouragement to you, friend, wherever you're at. And if you can take that posture of Hanani before the Lord and be willing to offer your life out on the altar, God, use it how you want. If you're willing to change your prayers from like, Lord, bless what I want to Lord, here I am, send me. I want to do your work. I believe you too can see miraculous unfoldings in your life. I believe God is looking for people that are willing to take the Hanani posture, and then he gives them his good, fulfilling assignments. The Lord, if you research the Old Testament, all the good stories, the people that he uses have a Hanani response. Look at Ruth. When her husband died, she could have gone back to her people, but she felt the Lord calling her to go with her mother-in-law to go back to her people where she was going to be an outcast, where it probably wasn't going to benefit her. But her response was, Hanani, I'm available, Lord, to do what you want. And she went with, and she got grafted into the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Look at Esther. Esther was forced to become queen. And then God used her and her Hanani response. Sure, Lord, I will risk my life to go plead for my people. God used her Hanani response to save the Israelite people. Joshua, his response was Hanani when God called him to lead the Israelites and to go in to fight the giants and take over the promised lands. He said he did it. He went in where everybody else was scared to go because of the giants. And he went and he took back the promised land for God's chosen people because he was willing to do what God called him to do, even though it was hard, even though it was risky, even though it wasn't going to be safe. And so friends, the Lord uses those whose posture is Hanani. So if you are listening and you want the Lord to use you, you want your life to be marked by doing God's work, then I would just encourage you to try praying this Hanani prayer. Lord, here I am, send me. Lord, here I am, ready and available, and just see what God's going to do in your life. So with that update, I just wanted to share with you that for the moment, the Mint podcast is going to go on a little pause. Now, we typically take summers off, and sometimes we pre-record, but we typically have a couple months in the summer where we don't record so that both Annie and I can be with families and take a rest and just have some time. But the pause is going to come early this year because I need to, and I get to, support my husband as he transitions to a head football coach. And we need the next couple months to finish our house and get this football program up and going, and for me to do all these speaking engagements well, and for us to help our kids not flunk out of school because there's so much else going on. We still got to remember to do their homework. Sorry, Zeke and Truett, you have spelling tests today, and that's not going to probably go well. And there's just too much going on. And so I'm going to take my break early. And I think the plan is that we'll come back and start recording in the summer once all these changes are made. So it's not going to be a long pause, friends. That's not the plan anyway. We'll leave it up to God. But I just need your grace as I choose to take on less in ministry for a season so that I can support my husband in his Hanani. And Ben, I know you listen. So I just want you to know how very proud I am of you because I know what this took. And I'm so excited to be a Blue Jacket and to come cheer you on this fall. I can't wait. So friends, let's pray and let's close out season 5 with grateful hearts, because the Lord is so faithful. His response to us is Hineni. God, we just come before you and we're so thankful for who you are. Thank you for your great love for your people. Thank you that you're always with us and that you never leave us. Thank you that no matter what we have to walk through, we can trust that you are beside us, that your spirit is within us, that your presence stands guard behind us, and that you have gone before us to prepare the way. God, we surrender to you today. We humbly ask that you would use us to accomplish your will. We put our agenda, we put our desire, we put our dreams on the altar, and we say, Hineni, here I am. Lord, whatever you ask us to do, will you fill us with your spirit in abundance so that we can have the courage and the strength that we need to do it? Lord, I humbly ask that you would use us to shine your light to a desperate, dark world that needs it. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we look forward to doing more of what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, friends, I love you and I will see you soon and we will be together soon.
Thanks for listening to the Mint Podcast. More resources are available at amintageisler.com. Let's do this faith journey together.